Thank you.
It's too early to do merch bits. I'm glad this isn't like podcast number like 5 or something where I'm still nervous about how I look and how it goes and, you know, because fuck, I'm going to be relying on you heavy.
Whoa.
Barge tone.
You know what I should make with them? Like those marshmallow, like Rice Krispie squares.
Yeah, I guess that would be good. But to be honest with you, eating them now just feels like a healthy marshmallow square. Magic Spoon is so delicious. So I am happy and proud to bring you one of our sponsors of today's show, Magic Spoon. Go to magicspoon.com/Tyso and use code Tyso
for $5 off any order.
I know what you're thinking. Rick, you normally look so well rested and young.
You do.
We woke up early for this podcast, and also I have yet to convince Helix Mattress to send us a third mattress to you. I would say, boy, my arms are tired, but when I sleep on a Helix mattress, boy, are they well rested. And you could get one too by visiting helixsleep.com/Tyso for up to $200 off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows. If you're carrying a credit card balance month after month, it could feel like you're in a never-ending cycle of debt.
Upstart can help you make final payments so you can get ahead.
Find out how Upstart could lower your monthly payments today by visiting upstart.com/Tyso.
It was just from the water. No one ever says it's from I'm sick. No one says that though, you know?
Well, I mean, I saw you drink, so I knew what it was from. There was context to it.
I wonder if it's worth animating the cup out of my hand.
Hey there.
Hi.
How are your levels in your cans?
They sound good. It feels like you're in the studio. I like it. Try Jesus.
I don't know if that is something that YouTube would flag, but if not, I'd love to hear some more.
I think if I do more, yes.
Welcome to a special London episode of Take Your Slippers Off. If you don't know by now, my name's Rick Glassman, and as always, the incomparable Ron Funches. You know when people do intros like that?
Yeah, every time.
Yeah. One of my closest friends.
Man needs no introduction.
Yeah. How would you introduce me if this were your podcast right now?
This is my podcast. And off of today, I'd be like, this guy is charmingly aggressive.
Could you say that again? I'm not sure if I was in frame. Okay. I was just trying to be charmingly aggressive, and I was just charming. All right, go ahead. Let me hear it.
No, the charmingly aggressive, the tall, the sweet, the guy who will test your friendship boundaries.
Well, let's just get right into it to let the audience know the situation at hand.
Yeah, okay.
You were in Europe for you and your wife's
first anniversary. Yes, you know, married in the midst of the pandemic, so we didn't really go and do. Well, we did a honeymoon. We went to Santa Barbara. It didn't go well. I hated it, and then my wife figured out I hated it, so then she turned on me.
Why'd you hate it? Because it was wine, not weed.
Partially, probably. Yeah, I just didn't know. I guess it was just like a lesson in the marriage, because I was so into like whatever she wants that I didn't think that like, oh, maybe you won't like this at all. And it just was such a, I guess the only way to put it was like, it was the super white area in the wrong time to be in a super white area, because it was like also
COVID.
And also last summer, it was like the whole height of Black Lives Matter things going on. And then when you went walking on the beach in Santa Barbara, it was the first time I had ever seen All Lives Matter graffiti. I was like, who walks the beach and was like, I need to let people know All Lives Matter. And I was like, I don't like it here. I don't want to be here at this beach. I don't want to be here at this resort. I don't like resorts in general. So my wife figured it out and then got mad at me. And so this year we went on a much better vacation.
All right. So I have a question that's not as important, but I want to get it out there in case we get to it.
Mm-hmm.
Are you sure you don't like resorts or you haven't been to good ones?
I think I don't like resorts. I don't like, because I feel like it's like a Disneyland that it just feels like you're trapped in a place and they're like, well, you're here now, so you got to eat our food and unless you want to go like an hour away and everything is overpriced and usually the service isn't that great. So maybe it is the places, now that I say that it's all specific.
So a resort that has good service, which they should.
Yeah.
And better food, and you're in.
And better prices.
Yeah. That's the thing.
The prices at the resorts are ridiculous. It's like you staying in an airport.
I just watched Captain Phillips last night.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, are my arms tired. And that end scene, I don't want to do any spoilers, but anyway, back to you. So, resorts, I could talk more on it, but we'll get there if we need it.
Yeah.
Did you tell your wife that you were unhappy or that she was mad at you because she had to guess?
I think it was because she had to guess. I mean, I'm easy to read, though. So, it's like, because usually I'm in a very happy mood. So, when I start kind of like not smiling and just like talking in short answers, she's like, no, clearly something's wrong. This is our anniversary. Why are you acting like this?
And you don't want to let her know?
No, because I want her to have a good time.
Do you think she'll have a good time with short answers?
No.
That sounded charmingly aggressive, just aggressive. I didn't know judgment behind it. But really, the question, so it's not so much about you in that moment, is the idea of like, when do we tell people? Because I tell people too much I'm uncomfortable. You know, what's the math?
I think it's important to just let people know because I think the more I do it up front, the less of an issue it is because it hasn't built up. There isn't anything that we're already here, you know. It's one of the things that my wife just told me. I talked to her for like an hour yesterday on the phone and she was like, I do like that you're like, she's like, you are always truthful. Mm-hmm. She's like, one of our first trips where I was going out of town and we were leaving. And she's like, oh, you're going to miss me? And I was like, no, probably not because I'm going to be busy.
Yeah, you told me that. Yeah. I remember we talked about that. That's right.
Yeah. And she hated it at first. But now, I mean, she brought it back up. She goes like, it hurt my feelings at that point. But now I love it because I know if you tell me you miss me, you miss me.
It's like if the resort said, listen, our food's not great.
Yeah.
But it's expensive.
Yeah. Thank you for letting me know.
We'll go for 3 days instead of a week.
Yes. I've been in here for like a week by myself. I was so lonely. I wish you had asked me to. I just wish I knew you were here. I would have asked to go to dinner or something with you.
I didn't know you were here until, I don't remember the name, but on YouTube, we'll put it up here. Thank you so much. Taproot. And he...
That's a long name.
I wanted to give myself space. They probably couldn't tell, but it was a voiceover. And he's like, oh, Funches is there. And yeah, you told me you've been here for so long. I mean, it was Betty's birthday not too long ago. We went out. Do you know my buddy David Sullivan?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
He came here with me for a week. Mm-hmm. We love David. David's one of my best friends. So one of my friends had to poop, he's one of them. I just didn't want any of them to. This is all I'm doing.
Yeah.
It would have been great.
I was just in a hotel room by myself, just going through the WCW pay-per-views from the moment the NWO premiered. So I was just watching.
We know.
Yeah, you know what I do every day. Yes. And then I was like, someone asked me to do something. And then I got 3 podcast requests for today. And I was like, no, I can't do that.
For people in London asking you to do the podcast? People you don't know?
One through Bill, actually. So
one through Bill.
Lawrence.
What podcast?
I forgot it. I don't know. I didn't do it.
Interesting. I think he knows I'm here. I actually sent, and I'm going to put the picture up here. I want to show it to you. Fast forward this. Play. This picture. Do you know Bill's wife, Krista?
Mm-hmm.
I sent this to them, and I said, this is Bill and Krista, a Lifetime movie. It looks enough like them, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and scene.
No response?
No.
Left on red?
No. Here's the thing. Left on red is when some guy you don't know hits you up and says, you want to do my podcast? And you see it and you just, maybe you'll get back to it later. Maybe you don't want to respond. You left it on red. When it's somebody that you're friends with, they do it. They just ignored you. You know? I'm like, what am I, chopped liver over here? I don't need you to say hysterical, but, you know.
You throw a ha.
Yeah, which normally I would say, don't give me nothing. If I got a ha, I'd say give me nothing. Mm-hmm. So I, like I said, I'm just not happy a lot of the time. But when I showed it to Betty, she's like, oh yeah, that's mean. And that's where I'm like, wait a minute. I'm not saying you are these people.
You just say you slightly look like these people. These would be the stand-ins for you.
There's a better chance that these people are watching it than them. So yeah, no, it's sure. The other way around. Oh. They're the good looking ones.
I saw a video of Bill recently with glasses and I was like, man, he looks ugly.
Oh, that's funny. I know what I'm thinking. I thought he looked good in them.
I thought he looked, bro. I was like, I showed it to my wife and I was like, ooh.
Look how bad he looks. Yeah. I'm gonna send him this.
Yeah.
So, what were you doing in Europe? And did you? Could we talk about what you were doing here? Any specifics?
Yeah, no, I was shooting a pilot for Comedy Central. But it's it was like a stand up showcase, so it probably because it's about comedy, so they probably won't make it. But
we'll the pilot or the comedians?
The both pilot and the comedians. It's funny and it's good, so we'll see if it actually goes.
All the comics are excited you're in town. They see that you podcasted. They watch for that.
I told them at the time.
Yeah, here's maybe a time where we could just say the prices are okay. You said, well, right after you went.
No, I think, it was a good project. I think everything's good. It's just like, I just watched the channel. I'm like, well, there's 23 hours of The Office going on. I don't know when they're going to fit it in. Right. Maybe they will, hopefully.
It's weird that it's not 24-hour Office.
I know. Like, why are you saving that hour?
You love The Office.
I do.
Yeah.
Doleful 24. Call it The Office Network.
Mm-hmm. What is it? It's like, first, did you know that you were going to do it, or did they ask you when they found out you were in Europe?
No, I knew. It was, that's why I set my trip around. So, no, yeah, they asked me to do it a few months ago.
How does that happen? An agent calls you?
My manager calls me, and she's just like, Comedy Central's doing this comedy showcase for a live show that they tour around here in Europe, and it's pretty proper, called Joke Thieves. Basically, they people do their sets, and then the other comedians come back up and they try to do your set. And
I used to do that when John DeWalt was doing stand up. Mm-hmm. We would do each other's sets.
Yeah, you got it. Yeah,
it's
exactly.
A fun game, but you have to know. Oh, but the show is basically they see Ron doing a set, they see me doing my set, and then they see me doing you and vice versa.
Exactly. Wow, right. You described it so much better than me.
I think you just described it well. I was, from this, it sounded like your manager described it poorly. So what is that like? Your phone rings. It's your manager. Do you think job offer? What are you thinking when you get in a call?
I mean, I just listen. And usually, I've been pretty busy. So I usually just like, if it doesn't sound fun. But I mean, I've just been kind of changing how I work recently or why I work. And I've been really trying to make sure anything that I do recently is helpful to other people. And
what do you mean?
I mean, I think my mindset, everything before, like when I was working on my show about myself and my son and everything, it was all about like me and what I could do and what I think is my calling. And now it's more about like, well, is there like a way I could help out? Even if it's just like, whether it's like representing people or whether it's just like actually helping someone else get their idea going. Basically with this is like, I love stand-ups. I think stand-up is one of the best art forms. It's one of the last like still truthful art forms. You can really a lot of people, you can't say anything, but you can say whatever you want as long as you have a skill set to do so. And I so anytime I get a chance to showcase stand-ups or showcase my friends, I'm like, yeah, I'm on board. So they were like, it's basically it's just a stand-up showcase. I'm like, oh, I can showcase my friends. I can ask them, I was able to get my friend Blair Saki booked, who like is amazing. And she was perfect for this because she has such a unique presence. And it was one of the first time I'm like, you should book Blair. Book Blair. I will book Blair for this. And usually every time people are like, okay, no. But this time they said yes. And then they loved her. And it made me feel so good.
Nice.
Yeah. And that's like what I want.
To help other people.
Yes.
So they probably won't make it, but
the pilot or the comedians?
The both, pilot and the comedians. Well, I, you know, I did my job.
No, you did what you could for them.
Yes, I tried.
Yeah, it's not, you're not going to do their act unless, well, technically, you could have saved it if you did their act.
It's part of the show. I actually could have.
Yeah, what's the feeling you think? I think it would still be flattering if another comedian goes up and does your act and just destroys with it. Mm-hmm. Not because of the irony, you know, but just like they could do it better. Right? Does that make you feel bad? Does that compliment your writing? Like, let's say they didn't go up in front of the same audience. It's too hard to troubleshoot that because there's built-in subtext to it. Mm-hmm. But if, like, the taping was another night with a new audience and they just destroy.
Yeah, I think you would feel a little bad. I think you would feel a little bad. But you did see that at the taping. Sometimes people would go like, oh, I should have wrote that tag. Because, you know, part of it, they'll change bits right. of it. And so and the people would be like, oh, actually, you're not going to do that. So I'm going to take that. So
there's a situation. I don't remember the comedian's name. I don't really know him. I think it's Brandon Walsh. That's mm-hmm. He's a comedian that mm-hmm. you probably know, right?
Yeah.
A long time ago, Brent tells this story often. I was on stage at the Comedy Store doing the stuff that I would do. You know, the Sunday, Monday, 3 to 5 minute set. And I remember this time I went up and I fell asleep on stage. Like I was on the stool and... started my stuff and it probably took about 45 seconds and I fell asleep. And then, you know, ha ha ha, kind of for the first 20 seconds, if that. And then it's like, okay. And Willie Hunter came on stage. He was hosting to get me off. And just, you know, I wouldn't get off. And I didn't let the audience get off either. But after probably a few minutes of it, they decided, okay. And they brought up the next comic and it was Brendan or Brandon?
Brendan.
Fix it in post. And they brought up the next comic, Brendan. I had my joke book on the table, and he you know, I was young.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm doing my committing to the thing and not appreciating how much I'm getting in the other people's way.
Yeah, you're being very rude.
Yeah, charmingly disrespectful. And yeah, because when you're in that mindset, and I'm not sure if you ever get to this thing, where like. In the bad version, you're unaware. In the good version, you're present. You know what I mean? And like, I really think it's like, you know, you're digging your way out of something and you think it's funny to you, so you have to do it. And anyway, you learn.
Mm-hmm.
But he then was obligated to, he can't just do his set. He has to acknowledge it. And his choice for it was to open my joke book and start reading my jokes. Maybe he thought, oh, this will get him. I'm reading his stuff. But he was reading stuff and at least it seemed genuine. He was laughing. And the audience was laughing at it, but also the situation. But he goes, why don't you just do these? You know, and that I remember that made me feel from Brent's telling of it, not from when it happened. That made me feel, yeah, maybe I should just do jokes.
I mean, it's the job. Yeah.
Well, if you remember, I want to get into what the job is, because mm-hmm. I think the job is to make people feel something and it has to be at least funny. Why are you making that face?
I mean, what do you want them to feel?
The egotistical version of it is, and I'm not saying this is first, but this did pop into my head first.
Mm-hmm.
I want them to feel that I'm special.
You're so truthful.
And sometimes it's like, you know, doing something unique cannibalizes doing something good. You know, they've already made The Matrix, you know, so we have to now fall asleep in a movie.
Mm-hmm. Now can I say what I think it is?
Right after we get back from a word from our sponsors.
Ricky, the one thing I remember going to America when I was younger was eating cereal and getting a huge sugar rush and then crashing in the afternoon. So much so that my mom banned us from eating American cereal.
Well, there are 0 grams of sugar, 14 grams of protein, and only 4 net grams of carbs in each serving. We got frosted, peanut butter, chocolate. There's also...
fruity.
They also have cookies and cream, maple waffle, cinnamon, and blueberry.
Look at that also. High protein, keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, wheat-free, naturally flavored, totally delicious, childlike cereal for grown-ups.
a lot of things free. Now, the cereal isn't free, but you could get $5 off by visiting magicspoon.com/Tyso. Use promo code Tyso.
Click the link in the description to grab a variety pack and try it today. And be sure to use promo code Tyso at checkout for $5 off any order.
And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's matched by a 100% happiness guarantee.
That means if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked.
Yeah, what happens in Magic Spoon stays in Magic Spoon.
I don't think many people are asking for their money back.
No, but did that make sense? Like, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas? Yeah, like, no questions asked?
Sort of. It did make me feel like they're hiding something, though.
Yeah, they are hiding. They're hiding the sugar. Wait a minute, no sugar?
It's not hidden. They're hiding
the fact
exist.
That this is a protein-packed cereal. So click the link below or use code Tyso for $5 off any order or visit magicspoon.com/Tyso.
You have such a hard time whispering. You really feel like you're pushing it out.
To save $5.
Rick, there's nothing in a day I know you do more than sleeping, and we've had this conversation.
Sure. It feels like an attack on me, but I'd love to sleep.
You sleep a lot. You sleep a lot. And so I know how important a bed, a mattress, and bedding is to you.
Yes. And I could confidently and honestly say that the Helix mattress is a fantastic mattress, super comfortable, and get a great night's sleep on it. For those of you who don't watch every episode of this podcast, you may have missed the fact that I was recently home in Cleveland. My arms were tired. And I asked Helix to send me a mattress there because I kept waking up with back issues. The next day, I felt better. And it also made me feel so confident in selling this product to you guys because it is such a good mattress.
You also bring it up every time you're out with people, every time you're talking to people.
You go online, you take the sleep quiz. It takes a minute, maybe two. I'm a side sleeper, I'm a back sleeper. I like it hot, cold, firm, etc. How tall you are, how much you weigh. And they'll recommend the mattress that's meant for you. They also have a 100-day trial that if you don't like it up to 100 nights, they will come to your door and pick up the mattress, as well as a 10-year guarantee.
And Helix is offering up to $200 off all mattresses and two free pillows for our listeners at helixsleep.com/Tyso.
That's helixsleep.com/Tyso for up to $200 off all mattress orders and two free pillows. Are you looking at your credit card statements and you're saying, how am I gonna do this?
Rick, I don't even have a credit card because I'm so scared of getting into debt.
Well, you're not alone. You're not, because I'm here with you. But if you are alone, you're not alone. Because Upstart can help you on your path to financial freedom.
Upstart is a fast and easy way to pay off debt with a personal loan all online. So you don't have to go into the bank and ask them, which is like my biggest fear, to be like, please give me money.
Such a specific biggest fear to have.
Afraid of debt. I will compromise my life in order to not be in debt.
I'm a bank teller. How would you ask me for a loan?
I would be so afraid. I'd be like, hello, I have no money. So unlike other lenders, Upstart considers your income and current employment to find you a smarter rate for your loan.
With a 5-minute online rate check, you could see your rate upfront for loans between $1,000 and $50,000.
Yeah, and Upstart knows you're more than just your credit score, which I think is really nice, and is expanding access to affordable credit. So you don't have to be ashamed if you go in knowing that you have quite a low credit score.
Find out how Upstart could lower your monthly payments today by visiting upstart.com/Tyso.
That's upstart.com/Tyso. Please don't forget to use our URL to let them know we sent you.
Loan amounts will be determined by your credit, income, and certain other information provided by your loan application.
Go to upstart.com/Tyso. And we're back. Thank you.
I think that your job, my job, I'm going to say, because I think different comedians, their jobs are different. Like, I don't think Mark Maron's job is to go up there and be like happy and things. But I think my job is to like help people just have a better day,
yeah,
and feel better. And if you leave my show feeling better and like you smile and you're like, oh, I forgot about this thing that was stressing me out, or I forgot about that, or, you know, whatever it is, I feel like then I've done my job. Mm-hmm. And that's just, I think that's just personally for me. I don't think that is like, you know, some people, they are truth tellers. They are like people who, you know, speak truth to power and tear people down. But I think a lot of people get so caught up in like, kind of also that feeling of like, oh, it's got to be special and world changing and all this type of stuff. And I just, in the day, I'm like, I just want to like, I mean, even just in my life recently, you know, so many people, friends have passed. Like, I just kind of really got shook up by when Trevor Moore passed. And
I didn't know him. I'm sorry.
Oh, thank you. He's a great guy. Just, I mean, and I don't want to act like we were best of friends by any means. Like, we were acquaintances. We just run across each other. I knew other people in White as kids, and I had worked with them on a couple things. And Timmy, who was in the White as kids, lived in Portland, and so we became friends. And he's just a really good guy and really good family man, and been married for like, I think, 20 years, and or at least with his lady for like 20 years, and had a nice kid, and he gave, you know, right before, I mean, yeah, I mean, I will tell that because I'm going to tell it my podcast anyway. It's like, he gave me like the greatest freaking compliment right before, like right at the end, like it wasn't even taped for the podcast. He was just telling me how, like, he had found out that his son was on the spectrum, and that, you know, he was dealing with it, and that it was stressful for him. And then he'd get, you know, concerned about, like, well, what does this mean for us and stuff. And then he told me, is like, whenever I got like real upset about it, I would think about, like, well, I know Ron has a kid with autism, and I know his life is good. I know that they look happy. I know that his son looks well taken care of. So I feel like this, we can figure this out. And I was like, man, that's like one of the best compliments I ever received. And so, like, when he passed, I was just like, man, I feel so bad for his family and for his son. And like, I mean, the only thing that really makes me, I'm like, man, he really, there's no doubt, like, you know, his kid and his wife, and they know how much he loves them and how much he did to, you know, help and protect and be a good man. And just also bigger than that for me is just like how he lived his life, just trying to create weird projects, working with his friends, working with the same comedy sketch group that he was working with in college. And to me, to never be like, oh, well, I'm actually doing stuff and being successful now, I don't have time for that. Or I don't, like, to constantly just be like, this is what's fun for me, so this is what I'm going to do, is like a lesson I'm trying to take right now. So I just, and just trying to work in a way that is more fun and protect my freedom a bit more. No, because I did a set 2 days ago, right before we were taping the thing, and here in London in this club, and like, they don't know me at all. They're like, you know, they didn't Google or do anything or do basic work that then I would have turned around and promoted the fact that a guy who was in movies and shows was coming to your fucking club. But I guess they didn't feel the need to. And so they booked me for like this. They're like, your sets are 9:10 and 9:30. They have like, it's like the Comedy Store upstairs, downstairs. And so I was like, okay, that's fine. That's perfect. Cause I have to go have a thing in the morning. So that'd be great if I can get back home by 10:30. They decided to bump me for like a more like local famous guy here. Well, I don't want to say that like he's not great. He's fucking great. He's really fucking funny. But so then my first set's at 9:30 and 45, and then they're like, okay, we're going to probably put you down at 10. And I was like, actually, I'm going to go home now because I have a thing in the morning. My schedule is tight and I got to go. And this guy just was like, what? No one drops sets here. This is extraordinary. That's what kept making me like, he's going, this is extraordinary. Extraordinary. And I was like, what? That sounds good. That sounds positive to me. And he was like, nobody. He's like, you have a set. It's in like 5 minutes if you wait. And I was like, man, no. I go, I'm looking at my phone. This is what we agreed to. He's like, you're booked. And I was like, you know, I'm not being paid. I know I wasn't advertised because I was upset about it. So no, I'm gonna just go home now and I'll see you. And he was like, oh, this is extraordinary. And I just go, well, I guess I'm an extraordinary person. I'll see you later. And it was like, I felt so good because I was like, I didn't yell at him. I didn't curse at him. I didn't ever get aggressive, but I protected myself. I protected my freedoms. And I was like, what's the worst thing you're gonna happen? I can't do your club. So that's fine. I'll go do something else. Not a problem.
Is it, you know, the name of the club is called Top Secret, and they never promote anybody.
Okay. Well, I mean, no, I saw them promote.
No, I don't know if they don't promote anybody.
I've seen them promote.
Yeah.
I saw it. And then also I promoted, so they could have just as simply hit a button to retweet it because I tagged them, but they chose not to do any of that.
When you talked about doing things for other people, I wanted to acknowledge that it's not lost on me that you went to bed at 4 a.m. and you still came and did this podcast because you know that I don't have an episode next week. We talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I do really appreciate it.
Thank you.
I texted you, as I'm sure you know, but I'm getting it out there. you know, normally we would just cancel, like, you didn't get to sleep, whatever. But it was like, you know, we have this obligation to get the wheels turning. Engine.
The donuts made. We have to get the butter churned.
We have to get the butter churned.
Yeah.
Right. But this is the butter churning. Mm-hmm. And then the post-production is the putting it into a donut.
Oh, that's going to be tasty.
Oh, I thought we were going to be donuts. What do you
mean? Oh, I'm making donuts.
It's probably going to be easier for it, but, you know, okay.
Okay, I'll be a donut. Well, I'm trying to not break any commitments as well. That's my wife has put that in me. Because I mostly just, again, protect my freedom, say what you mean.
Yeah.
So, like, if you don't want to do it, don't say yes so that you know you're going to cancel later, which is the thing I would do all the time. I go to the comedy store, cancel my set, and stuff like that, and I didn't realize as well that that's a little disrespectful. So
yeah,
now, like, I think the only set I canceled this year was in LA, besides the one I walked out of. The only one I've canceled this year is, like, my wife came home a day early. She hadn't been home in like 2 weeks, and so I was like, hey, yeah, my wife's here. I gotta cancel, and that's it. Because I've been trying to really be like, this is what I want to do. I'm gonna want to do it, and if I commit to it, I'll do it. So I even, like, my wife was like, why did you say yes? But she was like, you know you're going to be tired. You know it's not going to be good. And I was like, well, I said yes. I go in, and the same thing. I was like, well, you know how I am about my podcast. I left for a month, but we didn't miss the episode. You know?
I thought about how there's a, this was less about your character and more about another person, podcaster or not podcaster. But, like, the fact that when you were coming over, I thought, you know, the fact that he has a podcast is probably a big reason, like, how you could empathize with this.
Yeah. No, you know, absolutely.
Like, I know what that's like.
Yeah. And I know, yeah, I wanted to cancel, but then I woke up and I'm like, if I did, I know exactly, yeah, I know the feeling. I'm like, well, I don't know. Do I have that? Now I got to do an hour by myself?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have the commitment thing. If I break a commitment, I feel like they'll never trust me again.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just about that, but there is this thing of, like, I don't make promises. Sometimes, if I have to, but, like, people will say, "Do you promise?" And I even though I'll do it, like, there's something that I have in me that wants to be like, if I ever need to, I could be like, you know, like, look at that. It's not even that selfless. It's like, you know, it's like saying, I'm good for this. Which keeps me from committing to things.
Mm-hmm.
Because what if I won't want to? Or even lessen, what if I would rather not? And and I've got to the point to where I guess you call it a social life, but bigger than that. I mean,
oh, that sounds like a sassy 90s sitcom.
What, I'd rather not? It sounds like a catchphrase a Kenan Thompson would have.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'd rather not. And then Kenan face number six.
What is the what's the show? What's the sketch that he has? You know, with Jason Sudeikis is doing.
Oh, that. What's up with that?
Yeah, what's up with that?
Yeah, it's one of my favorites.
But I don't do things.
Mm-hmm.
I won't do things. I won't commit to things out of fear. Like, especially if it's a week out. So that I'm trying to work on committing to more. The opposite of you. You know?
So you're just like, I may or may not.
No. I would say I will.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's like, fucking, I know on Thursday I have to get lunch. And I know I'm going to want lunch, but I don't know if I want lunch at 1.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's Sullivan has helped taught me this. And Betty has been trying for a very long time. But Sullivan is very much a... Sullivan was in Australia and flew from Gold Coast to Sydney, Sydney to LAX, LAX... that's how he was getting home. And he wanted to come to London with me, but I was in Cleveland first. So he went from LAX, took a car to Burbank, Burbank to Chicago, Chicago to Cleveland for 2 days before then flying here.
Because
why not?
Mm.
I already had the ticket. Once I had the ticket to come here, I'm like, what if I want to stay in Cleveland a couple more days? You know, like, it just, it gets me so anxious.
Mm-hmm. So once you've made the commitment, you're like, oh, I'm not sure if this is going to be...
No, once I've... No, that's the thing. I've... You know when people, you know, maybe, Yeah, when you're going on stage, you know, when you're first starting out, you're never really scared on stage, but you're scared when you're up next. Mm-hmm. Does that feeling make sense to you?
Yes.
It's always, it's fine.
The anticipation.
Yeah, so once the plans are made, it's easier for me. Mm. I've noticed. Like, once the plans are made, it's like, well, I can't cancel it.
I like canceling if I can. If I, like, I feel good about it if it's, like, important, then I'm like, I don't feel bad. I just got canceled.
What do you mean if it's important?
If it's, I mean, if something comes up that's important, then you got canceled.
What feels good about it?
It feel, I guess I don't, power.
Okay. I want to fill up my coffee. I want you to think of that for a second, because that my admission of feeling special, mm-hmm. I think, yeah. I want to hear what that is, but let me fill up my coffee real quick. Mm.
The ultimate power play.
I won't cut you off. Welcome back.
Thank you. And the fast forward right before the welcome back, which also sounds like a Kenan Thompson catchphrase. No, I'm thinking of...
Kenan Thompson?
Yeah, just so nervous. Fucking Ron Funny. You know, I have... you see on my hands sweaty, just bits bringing up Kenan Thompson, but it faded a little bit. Mm-hmm.
Do you ever do stand-up here in London?
I love doing stand-up here in London. Mm-hmm. Yes, I've done two shows since lockdown. Mm. And it was originally fear of leaving the house. Mm-hmm. I got my second vaccine shot... in July. Mm-hmm. So then I'm like, I'm ready. So I think I'm ready to do it. I incidentally, I'm talking to the guy at Top Secret, and
tell him I say hello.
Mark says hello. Ryan says hello. It's Mark, right?
Yeah.
The only reason he canceled was because power.
Yes. That's why I walked out, to feel powerful. And I truly did. I loved it.
Sure. Because it felt validated to you.
Well, it was validated.
Yeah.
To me, it is. I mean, I do agree. Like, if you make a commitment, and if it was like, if there is an exchange of goods, if there's exchange of money, then that's a contract.
Just read a Benjamin Franklin biography. Even the way you're sitting.
The deal is, you got to exchange goods.
But has no idea how he sounds. That's not a Benjamin Franklin.
That ain't.
That's a Benjamin, but yeah. Or a Franklin.
That's Franklin.
Isn't Franklin in Washington? And I remember somebody said this, and I was like, that rang true. Like, the reason a lot of black people have the names of these presidents were because they slept with a lot of their slaves.
I don't know. I mean, you just now? Or what do you mean?
No.
I don't think, like, was Franklin a popular name?
He wasn't a president. But what I'm saying is...
No, I know what you're saying.
Only read a few pages of the biography.
I knew he wasn't a president. He, like, flies kites and stuff. He was a professional kite flyer. Franklin. Is it a president or some type of inventor, dictator? FDR? Don't let him know. I know all about Franklin, man. I'm all about those Benjamins.
Okay. But no, what I was saying is that, like, George Washington and Franklin are common last names in the Afro-American.
Oh, last names.
Yeah,
last
names. Yeah,
well,
yeah.
Then yes.
Because, like,
yeah.
So, power.
Mm-hmm.
You love canceling. And, you can see that the point, and just to make it easier to hear the truth, this doesn't necessarily mean why you do it or you're still this way, but that thing deep down that made you, that you're trying not to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what is the, I'm in control now type of thing? Is that what it is?
Mm-hmm.
Could you explain that further?
Well, I just think, like, I'm in charge. I like to decide. And maybe it comes from a source of, when I was younger, I never felt in charge. I never felt in control of things that came from a chaotic household. So I think having control, having that type of thing over myself is something that's swung too far. And then now I'm finding a solid balance of, like, you can, you know, be nice, be committed. And then, but I love it because, like, truly, when I do something, I'm fully committed. Like, I if I'm there, I'm like, you know, I'm here because I want to be here.
Yeah. This is, feels like it's obvious to me, but I don't think I've ever articulated to myself. But the thing that I told you where it's like, I want to feel special.
Mm-hmm.
It, I've told you this, but just reestablishing. When I was in school, I was in multiple special like classes. There's like some underground special classes in the school too. Like there's the learning disabled, then there's like the super learning disabled, then there's the this guy's gonna go to prison type of class or mm-hmm. something. Then I ended up going to this special school. The word special isn't lost on me there. And I think that there's something to where, like, my oddity or whatever the thing that got me in those classes or not included in with friends and stuff, like, that I want to control. Like, look at this thing's special. Like, I'm not, like, I'm able to get laughs out of it, or I'm able to get, like, I guess, yeah, it's wanting people to like me as I am that thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I also want to, I guess this is a bit defensive, but I also want to clear up that my, as a, you know, adult who's been doing this for a while now, my motivation isn't that anymore. That definitely still exists. Mm-hmm. What I have found, especially as I've been like wanting to actually say truths as opposed to just go up there and get a performance, is I want, I guess still in a more selfish way, I want people to understand what this thing is. I'm censoring myself with the autism talk. I don't want to be an advocate or a spokesperson for it.
Mm-hmm.
But I do very much want to be an advocate and a spokesperson for people.
Mm-hmm.
That are this thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Which isn't autism, which isn't not autism, mm-hmm. but people who are just very misunderstood, and people know who this person is even though they don't.
Yeah.
And to be able to find the language to show people, oh, he's joking, or there's more to it than that.
Mm-hmm.
And this podcast has done that much greater than stand-up at least yet has done. And mm-hmm. so much of my audience are people that two people have gotten diagnosed from autism after watching this and realizing that's a thing, which I can't explain what that feeling is. This is corny. I'm grateful for the platform that, like, if I could have found out earlier,
yeah,
you know?
Definitely.
But that, like, I, you know, there's a scene in the movie Fighting for My Family. Do you know the movie?
Mm-hmm. Steve Page?
Merchant? You're credited in Fighting with My Family.
Oh,
with thanks.
With a thanks. I remember you told...
You guys did research.
Yeah, you know the movie.
Okay.
How did you know it was Paige if you didn't know the movie?
From The Wrestler?
Yeah.
Because The Wrestler was in it.
Right.
And they were promoted on wrestling.
But have you seen the movie?
No.
It's fantastic.
Is it? Because yeah. I was like, there's wrestlers in it. I'm not going to see it.
Coincidentally, last week's episode was with my friend Mircea Monroe, who is Steve Merchant's, I don't know if you say partner, girl, whatever it is. But they're, mm-hmm. and so we were talking about Fighting with the Family.
Fuck.
I don't know. I know she blows him and he eats her ass and her pussy. I'm not sure what happens.
He's a pussy merchant.
Yeah, he's a pussy merchant. Put up a picture of a pussy merchant. But coincidentally, we were talking about that. But there's a... I love... It's such a good movie. I've seen it so many times. And The Rock's in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I know from your Comedy Central stand-up special that you love The Rock.
I love The Rock.
And I know from Twitter that he at least... knows that you love him.
He's aware of my love for him.
Put up the picture of his The Rock's retweet. She gets up. Spoiler alert. But you probably know she wins the SmackDown of the Year, whatever the event is.
That's what it's called.
Yeah, SmackDown of the Year.
Yeah.
And she goes up on the thing. Yeah, you know, it's like, I'm doing this for all the weirdos and the oddballs who feel like they're alone, and but like that's mm-hmm. a much more glorious version of it. But it's so. It's so nice having like as a performer to having like a mission statement that feels real. Like when I'm lost or if I don't know how these things connect, the point of all of this is how people see people. There's at least more layers to it. If mm-hmm. not, it's the opposite. You know what I mean?
No, I agree with you. I like I mean, of course, I agree with that. I have a very Dan Harmon put this term in my head that I really like just. I think it's like just celebrating neurodiversity. You know, we celebrate diversity on the outside, but often we don't comprehend that you can be just as diverse in your brain. And that doesn't mean whatever is considered normative to us is right. A lot, I mean, you know, just have my son with, you know, straight classic autism. There's been so many lessons, so many things about like not following traditions blindly, so many things I think a lot of people are just now learning from the pandemic, where they get like, oh, like this break where I'm like, why was I doing that? I was just doing that out of routine.
What, like hugging and handshaking?
Hugging, handshaking, going to a job that you could be Zooming from, yep. or a thing, doing something for 12 hours that only takes 4 hours of your time if you just have focus of it. Learning those type of things is something that my son taught me 10 years ago. And I think that's like, I don't think I would be where I am if he hadn't taught me like, oh, I don't have to do these things. And it was just, he taught me a different way to think. And I think that's important. And I think so what you do and how you put that out there is definitely a worthy cause.
The pandemic has made, it feels like it's made it easier for people to empathize with me. Sort of thing. Does that make sense, though?
Because they got locked in their house for years, so now they feel they're weird, too? Is that
what? No. Like, the rules that you say were unwritten that everyone subscribed to that I either chose not to or more realistically didn't understand and just didn't do, as simple as, why are we handshaking? As simple as, I don't want to sit this close to you. Mm-hmm. Or as, well, I don't, we'll Zoom or not do it at all. Mm-hmm. Here's a bigger one that more people understand, but some people still bust my balls, is the I don't have outdoor clothes inside.
Mm-hmm. I understand that. I just don't like that. Sometimes my wife will come in, I'm like, you smell like outside. I don't like it.
Outside, or is it like walking around outside? Because there's a certain walking around outside that better refers to as ozone. Have you heard that term for a smell?
No, but I think that is it.
Yeah. Just change.
Yeah, for real.
I asked you to take your shoes off and wash your hands when you came in. Mm-hmm. Not saying that you weren't going to do either, but also not giving the opportunity to choose not to.
Mm-hmm.
There would have been a time that when I asked you to another person to wash their hands, I would have had to do a little joke about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? That would have kind of taken away from the weird wash your hands request and said like, oh, Rick's comedy's weird, or Rick's choosing to be this thing to hide that. So both getting older and realizing I don't have to cover everything with bits, but also like my mom, I throw my mom under the bus a few times recently on this podcast, but we love you, mom, obviously, but
yeah, you're the best.
She would wash her hands. She would put soap on her hands and then just put the hand under the faucet and get the soap off.
Let it cascade.
Yeah. Or I guess she would say, no, I go like this. Like it's same, you know, it's not magic sauce. You have to emulsify the dirt to the soap and rinse it off. Sullivan came over. Who gives a shit? I'm going to tell you some more washing hands anecdotes. But.
Oh, you're not now?
I've learned. You know. Here's a tool that I've learned, but is very confusing and a lot to calculate. Mm-hmm. When somebody goes like this, it doesn't mean they're not interested, but you have to at least check in with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes, like watching where people are looking, it's tough. It's tough because then I could choose if I care about what I'm saying, I could choose to just hey, you know what I mean. But a lot of times with the hand washing thing, it's an anecdote that I got into. It's like we could cut it short. But but had you been looking at me like this,
oh.
I would have been like, oh, and then I'm like, what kind of soap do we want? And we have paper towel, you know. But when you go like this, it's like, all right, he's not. Do I care? Okay. And then it's tough. That's what makes stand up really hard for me. Because when you have a bit that you care about, you just, and then it's self-fulfilling. People then care. They know you care. Mm-hmm. But when you're doing it, you have to rely on it. And you have to, that's the craft, right? You fucking power through until they come back. But once I see or feel the audience go like this, and I'm like, yeah, I know, I don't care. I'm completely removed from the art and the conversation. And that's where I'm you're floating. If the metaphor, you're floating and you're in it, and then you just fall and pant. And that's why repeating material is very hard for me. I've never articulated that to myself. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. I mean, no, explain it to me more.
All right. Did the first part make sense? Like, yes. If you're talking to somebody, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Could you appreciate?
I don't understand the what stops you from then repeating it and trying it again.
So it would have been the equivalent of me. Another set, perhaps, until that happens again. Mm-hmm. It's
Well, you mean, of course, another set. You're not repeating the material in the set.
What I'm saying is, the best comedians in the world are going to notice the audience go like this sometimes.
Yes.
But once that happens, like if I were to keep doing the talking about the hand washing story, and in this analogy, it would be I'm on stage and the audience looked away, but I'm powering through with this story that I'd be repeating. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be, I would be saying words, panicking, mm-hmm. not present, not performing, mm-hmm. just because what I want to do is what I just said. Mm-hmm. What, you know, like, hey, don't worry about it.
Yeah. No, I understand that. And like if you get resistance and then you at least I don't know if you're saying this, but I'm gonna say for me, sometimes in the past if I got resistance on my set and people weren't into it, I would still like keep going with my planned material, and but like it felt like I would just shut down and just be like, well, now I'm like I'm just reciting lines. I'm like an animatronic robot that they programmed and will get done as soon as the script is over. And it was actually from watching Marc Maron where I just saw him like more and more, just more experienced comic being like, material's working. This didn't work. I'm going to address it. I'm going to show this. I'm going to be more in the moment. And I was like, oh, like.
But doesn't that, I understand. I mean, that's probably the first tool you learn. Like, mm-hmm. that's to be present is to be present. But at a certain point, you're getting in your way. You're making excuses, mm-hmm. right? Like, how are you going to get this? You saved it this set, but now you didn't get to practice the joke. Mm-hmm. At what point do you get to practice the joke if that happens?
Well, I mean, if that joke that people have started to, or that, was it a previous joke?
Well, that's what's so set. That's where this
is going to be so, like five people are going to be like, I know exactly what they're talking about. And that's it.
The sense of, yeah, but now it feels like if they're looking away, I feel like, no, but I care about this. I want to talk about it. Mm-hmm. The sensitivity to it is still, you know, comes and goes, but it's pretty strong to where it's not even about this bit. It's a moment that I feel that. And it's not even the audience going like this. It's me doing it. Mm-hmm. It's like, I don't give a fuck about this anymore. Mm. It's the moment that happens. Mm-hmm. It's, all right, thank you for your time. Why am I here? Why am I wasting all of our time?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I agree with that.
But how could you care about what you're saying on the 100th time? But for me, what I found is that's why I have to find performance pieces that I'm playing.
Well, that's why I talk about what I love. Because I still care about it. I mean, when you see my sets, it's about my son. It's about my wife. It's about video games. Is about mm-hmm. what, because I can say those things. That actually is a lesson I thought pretty early in my comedy career when I'd see people. It was like when at the height of Lewis Black being at the like Daily Show table.
Wow, yeah, he was so good. Mm-hmm. Does he still do stand up?
I don't know.
He was so funny.
Yeah,
but I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And so, but you would see a lot of people being like, "That's what we do. We rant about a subject or whatever, you know." And I was just like, "Well, I don't. There's nothing I care about that much where I'm going to be like rah rah rah, and then the 50th time still be rah 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 rah."
Yeah,
you know. So I just kind of was like, "Oh, I need to." It was just a thing like, "Well, talk about what you love then."
So you consciously said, "I need to find something I can talk about 50 times."
Yep.
That's what this explaining the language of, as you and Dan Harmon referred to it, neurodiversity. But like, that's where that is helping me, because like, all of this matters to me. But it still happens in my podcast all the time. You came over on the first episode right after my episode with Taryn Killam. And mm-hmm. I think we talked about this. Or mm-hmm. maybe it was right before. They were right next to each other. Did I talk to you about that?
I think so.
Where it happened, like I caught myself. And all my equipment was breaking. Mm-hmm. And then I thought, I've learned the tools, Rick. I have questions prepared. Just fucking do it. Mm-hmm. And then I asked a question about The Simpsons, a show that I care about and love that he's in. And I felt like I'm lying to him. I'm lying. He knows I'm only doing this because I'm trying to power through, and I just short-circuited. And for months, I was just embarrassed anywhere I went.
I have that. I know what that feels like.
Could you give an example?
Yeah, it's when I... Let's see, because now I can't even remember who is. Oh, it was when I met Ray Romano and called him Paul Reiser.
First and last name?
No, it was more like, oh, because I had met Holly. Well, who else was on Mad About Holly Hunter? Is that her name on Mad About You? So I met her a few days prior. And so I was on Lights Out with David Spade, and Ray Romano was there. And I was like, oh, I just met. Da, 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 da. She's so great. Da, da, da. And then he was like, do you think I'm Ray Romano?
It's Paul Reiser.
Or whoever. See, it's still a blind spot in me.
Right. And then you were embarrassed even after?
Oh, I was so embarrassed. But then even partly, even that I kind of felt powerful about in a way. It was like almost like the time that I was like 20 minutes late for a troll screening that I thought was just for me. And then I showed up and we found out that we'd been making Anna Kendrick wait for
That's
us.
That's so Ron Funches is to think the troll screening is just for him.
They didn't tell me nobody else was going to be there.
Yeah, I guess. They told you it was at 8. You know, the guy running the projector, you know, was going to be there.
It's true. That wasn't my fault. That was my manager. She was the one who was late.
She's going to watch this and be like, first of all, I explained the stand-up takeover show very concisely. But the Anna Kendrick thing, that was on me. That's on me.
Yeah, that was on her. But it's just a little bit of like, you know, I'm like, oh, I made Anna Kendrick wait.
Sure. I would love to cut to a clip of your manager being like, and by the way, make him wait. She didn't give you the wrong time. She just told you to show up late.
So being able to be like, because it's so many times, you know, that happens. I think that for like black people in general, like black comics, a lot of times they're like, oh, are you this one or this one and that? So for me to confuse a white legend like that kind of made me feel powerful. I knew it was Ray Romano the whole damn time. I think he's a big shot. Thinks everybody loves Raymond. Nobody loves Raymond that much. Andy Kindler was great on that show, though.
My parents love Brad Garrett.
Oh, is that tone of that voice?
Raymond.
Paul Reiser.
Andy Kindler, that's the Jewish guy, right? The guy that does the...
I'm Jewish.
Was Benjamin Franklin a president? Was Andy Kindler the Jewish one?
Yeah. He's like in the third thing, you know?
No.
He does two things and then he does a third thing.
Yes.
That's the guy.
It's called a Lotzi. It is. It's the rule of threes.
What?
It's called a Lotzi.
Really?
Yeah, and I
did not know that.
I think Kenan Thompson, catchphrase again.
I did not know that.
I guess anything could be a catchphrase if you kind of had that cadence. What's something that would not be a catchphrase? Do you have any more coffee? But say it like a catchphrase.
Do you have any more coffee? Yeah, that doesn't work.
If you say it not as a question. Mm-hmm.
Do you have... Wait, no, that's still a question.
No. Say those words the same, but don't inflect up.
Okay.
Inflect down at the end. Do you have any more coffee? But inflect down on E.
Do you have any more coffee?
Do you have any more coffee?
Do you have any more coffee?
It's a catchphrase.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, I guess
I think the catchphrase is it has to end. No.
Yeah. Do you have any more coffee?
There is a line that cadence is making me think of in Fresh Prince. You know the show with Will Smith?
That the show with Gina and Pam?
Yeah, remember that? Oh, he was DJ in Detroit.
Yeah, I mean, who doesn't love that show?
There's a scene where they get stuck in an elevator, and I don't remember what it was, but it was Will and I think Carlton was there.
And Shanae.
No, you're thinking of Martin. Fresh Prince is the Will Smith, who we actually had on the podcast.
Oh.
And something is happening. I think it's a racial thing, but maybe it's just a guy being an asshole or doesn't know that Philip is a judge or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And they're stuck in the elevator and tension is building. And finally, the one guy who's cool, Philip Banks, goes, he kind of loses it on the guy. And Will, who's supposed to be this alpha guy, is kind of scared. But so he uses Uncle Phil as a buffer and stands and stands behind him. And he goes, and I will eat you alive. Something like that, Philip says. And then Will kind of pops up and he about due for a snack.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that line.
That's maybe.
Oh, he about due for a snack.
Yeah.
I think it's he about due for a snack. Okay. I think he goes down.
You think he goes down?
We'll see.
Sir? Give me that damn phone. I'm gonna rip your liver out and eat it raw.
That's right, boy, and he about due for a snack.
Okay. See? Or, oh, I guess you're right. I wonder if so much of what I think things are from Fresh Prince and Simpsons. So much of what I think a joke is are from those things. I think I've talked about this in a podcast, but there's a joke structure that I have since adopted and played with in so many different incarnations. I originally saw in The Simpsons in the Stonecutters episode where Homer says he can't admit that he's going to go to the Stonecutters with Lenny and Carl.
Yeah, it's a secret.
Yeah. So
the secret society.
So when they're at the top secret society where they never advertise who's going to be there and Homer can't get caught. So when he gets up from the dinner table and Marge says, are you going to go stalk Lenny and Carl again? Homer has to think quick. So he goes, no, I'm going to stalk Lenny and Carl. Oh, like he did the cadence of the thing he's supposed to do. Mm-hmm. That was obvious. So
I'm saying the quiet part loud.
Yeah. Just the idea of like a joke could be a left turn when you know you're turning left is just to go straight. Mm. And that's what my thought process is in a Lotsy, where so many people understand, well, she's smart, she's kind, and she's got a fat ass. Like they know the third thing is going to be that. Mm-hmm. So I think the way to do that is either put it second or she's smart, she's kind, and man, is she sweet. Or, you know, whatever, there's no joke there. But a lot of times that deconstruction can be confusing if the other person doesn't know the rule.
Yeah, exactly. You got I think that's a lot of comedians, right? You know so much of it. You're such an expert of it that you assume everybody else is. But I think I'm a fan of, like, to me, you do deconstruction, like, after you've shown construction.
Yes. That's something that I learned very late. Yeah. build the thing and then take it apart.
Tear it down. Or else, what are you tearing? You're sitting there banging at the air. People who are like...
There is something to finding that common ground, though. It's not always there. And a lot of times you have to condition the audience that this is what you're doing. So first you build something and take it down so they understand deconstruction and you a little bit, the way your mind works. But there is something special when you get to deconstruct something that people already know for two reasons. One, it builds in a callback. You know, it's like there's an empathy to it, like a subconscious. We all know what he's talking about, right?
Yeah, I mean, actually I feel like the Rock joke was kind of like that for me, because it was like, oh, it was like, right, whenever I said it, people were like, oh, that's just like a collector. Like me just saying The Rock is the Beyonce for boys. People go, oh, that's true.
Yeah.
That's just a truth. And I get that. And it became this more like, oh, we all collectively agree with that.
But there's a punchline to that.
Yeah.
Which is you would sleep with The Rock.
Yes.
If you say that without the boys for Beyonce, the boys for Beyonce is still building. They get it. But there are jokes out there where you could say the punchline without the setup. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I get what you're saying. Yeah.
And I seek those. I love those. And for a very long time, I had no idea that they didn't know that The Rock is the Beyonce for boys. Like, I didn't even cross my mind. Anything I know. You know, anything that I've experienced, you've experienced. It wasn't like I was, yeah, it was just, it took me a very long time to figure that part out.
I also feel like that comes helpful from like performing overseas. Like when you...
Because there's words and phrases that they might not know?
Not at all. Or the things that are similar that just, you know, what you have to learn. Or I think... Now I'm stumbling a bit, but I think the first time I went to London and did shows a couple years ago, and it was the first time where I was like, oh, like I love to do references and do things like that, but they have to be an extra. They can't be the punchline. If they're the punchline, then they don't work for everybody. So I have to have at a base, have a joke that I feel is just structurally sound for everyone, which is why, again, I moved more towards
talking about universal themes, about like relationships, fears, things like that, where I'm like, wherever you are, everyone's still like, you know, I mean, obviously there's people who are asexual, or, and I don't want to discount anyone's.
And there's nothing wrong with it.
Oh, is that a thing we still have to say?
I'm deconstructing the thing you have to say. Oh, no, put their Instagram handle up here.
But, you know, to try to do things that are more worldwide and universal in nature, as opposed to just assume that everyone's had my life experience, is a thing that just comes the luxury and a lesson that you have from travel.
Do you think that now having the reference be extra, when you're in a place where they know the reference, it still adds to have that extra layer first?
Oh yeah, it makes it because to me that's just like my favorite style of entertainment, is when I do learn more about you. I learn more about your likes. I learn more about what you're actually interested in. And like, I was actually, because when I was trying to fall asleep last night, you know, I mean, talk to pilot. So then I was like, I'll be asleep by midnight. I'll be fine.
What time did you get back home?
I got back by 11:30. But then I had that high and mania that comes from like when you perform, when you do a good job. I'm like, it's kind of like.
So you're saying all the people that went on went right to sleep after?
No, they were. I didn't say they weren't going to make it because of the quality. It's,
oh, why not?
Because of the format of the
right.
They're out of comedy. They don't even do really. I mean, it should just be called Central, a place to visit.
They're gonna see this and be like, "Fuck Ron." Actually, Central, a place to visit. That could work.
It's a good idea.
Central, a place to visit, so far is the best Kenan Thompson catchphrase.
Okay. Well, I got that high that I love, that, you know, it's a gift when you get that type of high. I think it's one of the best feelings in the world.
Well, that's a sweet way to look at it. Like, you can't go to sleep because of something so positive.
Yeah. That you did a good job, that you did. Yeah. You put, I always put it like, oh, like I imagine it's, I mean, I've never been an athlete like that, but like, oh, I left it all on the field, you know?
Yeah, I know what that's like.
But so I'm listening to music just listening to old rap songs from the 80s and 90s, and this guy's like, just laying at home playing Tomb Raider. And I was like, that's the type of stuff love. Right. When people were like, oh man.
It's also so specific that not only do you get to know them, you get to picture something.
Yes.
It's not so broad.
Yeah.
Having the reference be a punchline, the way you found it was through going to another country. I also discovered that, not on stage though, from The Office, where they're a network comedy with so many references and subtleties, and I realized they were able to do it because those things were extras. Mm-hmm. So if you didn't understand this, there's one, the time when I noticed it, I don't remember exactly what it was. But Steve Carell's character, who they've established, loves comedy of his time. So SNL, Steve Martin, we know that about him. So we appreciate his reference. It's not just the specific reference. It's a call to him liking, it could, you know, be a word you've never heard of. And there was something where he was doing, someone said something about Arnold Schwarzenegger, and he goes, or should have been Arnold Schwarzenegger, but instead of Arnold Schwarzenegger, he references Hans and Franz. Mm-hmm. And even if you don't know who Hans and Franz are.
Yeah, just
and it's just, oh, he loves the, so the character development of it, and the knowing who the person is. And that's where I kind of figured that out. And The Office, even if you don't know how smart it is, or because you just don't get it, or you weren't part of those references, whatever it might be, it still works on a surface, at least on a surface level. Mm-hmm. And there's something, you know the term A to C. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do I need to explain the term A to C?
I don't think so. It means you skip B. You skip the most logical.
Interesting. I was just kidding. I know. But
I guess, yeah, I said you don't need to explain it, and then I explained
that's
it.
That's why I, yeah.
Yeah, I get the joke.
But A to D is even better. Mm. And A to E, oh my God, assuming that everyone knows B, C, D.
Yes.
Before Christ did. And, yes. And, If you do that, the way callbacks, is this okay? Yeah, it's fine. This is where I'm okay talking about it. The way you do that is either they know B, C, D, or you set up B, C, and D. Ron. put mustaches on and off on those. The you set up BCD, so I could do this, please. I'm loving this. Kenan Thompson catchphrase.
I'm loving this.
You know, Pharrell wrote that. He did.
I'm loving it?
Yeah, he co-wrote I'm loving it.
Wow. That's like, well, that's a man. I love things like that, like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle theme song thing.
What's the theme song to that? I mean, you know the theme song.
What, this is what Chuck Lorre wrote it, right?
Heroes in a Half Shell, Turtle Power?
Mm-hmm.
Man, he's good.
Yeah, man.
They're the world's most gruesome fighting Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
You say gruesome fighting team?
What is it to you?
I think it's fearsome.
I'm doing the original comics, the 84 black
where
and white.
Where they were like, yeah, we're gross.
Yeah. Well, gruesome. You know, the attacking and the slashing.
Oh, okay.
Ricky. Yes.
Give me your
time check. Thank you.
It's 9:20. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Should I call an Uber now?
Yes, please.
Okay. 1 to 5 stars. How was your trip?
He was 5 stars. He was chill. He was quiet. It's my favorite type of Uber.
I've given a few 4 stars, and mm-hmm. that's when like they called me a kike. It's really hard to not give 5 stars on Uber.
Well, I've given a 1 star if I have to.
Need to feel powerful.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they were a dangerous driver.
It's, yeah. Dangerous drivers, tough. But sometimes I say to them, because I want them to give me a 5 star, I go, thank you so much. Like at the beginning, do you want a glass of water or whatever? And he goes, no, I'm fine. A to C. But when he offers me a glass of water, I would say, no, thank you so much. I can already tell you, 5-star service. And then he drives bad and I have to give a 5.
Mm.
That's where it's tough.
Yeah, you can commit to it early. That's like when they ask you to tip before the delivery comes.
Oof. It's tough. It's tough. You could change the tip, though.
Yeah, you could change it, but I don't want to commit to a level until I know how this person's service is. I had that recently out here. I committed to a tip, and then the guy shows up, and he's like, there's no bag for my items. He just hands me the pile of items. Like, there's something had happened.
Well, you could change the
That's
tip.
That's a good catchphrase. Something had happened. What's wrong? Something had happened.
Yeah, there's a great example of where a catchphrase does work going
yeah.
up. I think it has to be 3 words or less for the catchphrase to go up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it has to be 3 words or less for the catchphrase to go up. Keep it in, but...
I like it because it's like you're just ordering food.
Okay.
Let's see. What's next on my set list?
What did I want to? What were you saying? The A to C.
You thought it. Yeah. The A to C.
Oh, A to C. If you could, so, there's two things. If you want to go A to C, they either have to know what B is, or it has to work.
Yes.
As though they thought C was B.
Yes.
And that is. Those are such fulfilling jokes.
Absolutely.
Because it also, as a performer, it lets you kind of perform it because you could. You could deliver C as C, or you could deliver C as B, and the people that understand it, it's even more like slow played.
Mm-hmm. No, I love that. Comedy.
It really is, and same with music. There's some people that could feel and see and sing and or play music a certain way. My way is very mathematical, and like there's patterns and symmetry. And once you know it, you could break those patterns or symmetry. Mm-hmm. It's the same with comedy. And it's you have to know the math of it to do it. But what's tough, where my obstacle has been, and that I'm getting okay at, is explaining the variable. The formula works. They need to know, you know, I guess for algebra, they need to know all variables but one. Mm. And figuring out what's the one that's the blank and...
solve for X.
Yeah. Anyway... Yeah, I like it. It's waking me up. I miss it, man. I'm ready to go. Like I said, I'm just talking work. I'm ready to go back to stand up.
Yeah, I'm excited. I just taking this few weeks off to be traveling and stuff and doing that one set. I was like, man, I just want to get back up and do sets, even though I don't feel like I'm not even going on the road the rest of this year. So who knows, but at least I can do
by that. Choice. You're not going on the road the rest of this year?
Yeah, I got a job. I'm gonna be shooting a show for Apple. So
what show?
It doesn't have a name yet, I think, or I don't think I can say the name. One of the two,
just lip it and we'll put it in. The Big Lebowski.
But it's a show with Joakim Booster is going to be in it, and Maya Rudolph. So it should be, I should probably lead with Maya Rudolph. Maya fucking Rudolph That's is awesome. In it, and I'm in it, and so that makes me happy.
And it's a pilot, or is it already a series?
It's picked up.
Fuck yeah, man.
Yeah.
How many episodes?
10.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much. It was really helpful after, we probably should have talked about this. Did you know I was in a slip and slide show that got canceled because of diarrhea?
No.
That seems like something you'd be interested in.
We got 5 minutes.
Okay. I was doing, it was almost as if it was just a beautiful dream. I was getting ready to go do this independent movie for way less money.
Can I pitch you a quick joke to do it and then you could do? Mm-hmm. Don't say do this, say do this. Okay. You can go on.
So I got a call from Bobby Moynihan, and he's just like, hey, I'm hosting this show for NBC. We need a co-host, and they've mentioned your name. And I was like, fuck yeah, I love Ron. So let's get
you
him.
You said you love Ron?
Bobby said He loves Ron. And so then I just show up. I just like sit on lifeguard chairs, and we would just put like kids, 70-year-old people, retired NBA player, old and Polonese. We would zoom a 70-year-old like grandma down these giant slip and slides. It was the best job of my freaking life.
What's the concept? Why do people want to watch this?
It's like Wipeout or the thing. It's like a competition series that is, but with slip and slide. And so it was super fun. And then the place that we were shooting was like this farmland. And I forgot how to pronounce it. I believe it's Giardia. Sometimes I always mess it up. But there was like poop parasites in all around. And so then like, people got sick. And then they tried to like, well, let's find another place to shoot it. And they couldn't. So they just canceled the whole show. We had shot most of the show. It made me feel so bad. But then I got this. So now I feel better.
Oh, wow. You know, it actually made me think poop parasites is never a good thing.
Mm-mm.
And it's important to have a good, healthy bacteria and a good, healthy gut. And it's important to get all of your nutrition. That's why we at Take Your Shoes Off recommend Magic Spoon cereal. 4 flavors, peanut butter, berry, chocolate, and frosted. Whatever your heart's content is our desire.
Magic Spoon, I enjoy it very much. They advertised my podcast once and then has not come back. So please come back. My wife actually now orders your cereal without me, and I actually have to pay for it. So I would prefer not to.
Well, when your wife orders cereal and when you order cereal, make sure to go to magicspoon.com/Tyso and use code Tyso for $5 off. With that, your Uber is here. Ron, I appreciate it. Check out Diarrhea and Slip and Slides next year on Apple TV.
Diarrhea, Slip and Slide.
And as always, Scoot Do, Bubbity Blue. Loan amounts will be determined by your credit, income, and certain other information provided by your loan application. Go to upstart.com/Tyso. All right, so use that last version, but also cut the last cut. Well, we're right where Betty. Well, cut to, you show the empty room mic. The empty. Oh, was Betty? Were you in front of the camera? I wonder. Where are you standing?